Good morning. The time is 8:07. Currently overcast skies in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of North 3rd Street and Washington Street. Currently 22 degrees is the temperature. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Going to be a very busy Wednesday, both here during this program and then later on tonight when I'm back from 6 until 8 p.m. for the big high school sports show, but focusing right now on the next 2 hours. Coming up in about 13 minutes or so, I will be talking to Civic Media's Kristen Alfheim. She is the host of The Rational Revolution that can be heard on our Civic Media stations in Green Bay and Oshkosh on Thursdays at 7 o'clock. She is a Central Wisconsin native. In fact, she was a classmate of mine back when I was going to high school here in Central Wisconsin at DC Evers. We graduated in the same class back in, well, back a while. But we'll talk to Kristen Alfheim about her show. Last time we talked to Kristen, she was just launching The Rational Revolution. She had run for office. She has served on the council in Appleton. So we'll talk about what's going on in the news, about her program and more. That's Kristen Alfheim coming up at 8:20 this morning. Then at 9:20 this morning, we will be joined by one of the announced candidates for mayor of Wausau, Councilman Doug Denning. He is running for office. He is hoping to unseat the incumbent, Katie Rosenberg, and we'll talk with Doug Denning about the issues in his race, why he's running, coming up at 9:20 this morning. So that's on this program. And then don't forget to join me tonight from 6 until 8 p.m. as I will be back with the big high school sports show here on Bow Falls Radio. We will be talking about high school basketball and hockey, boys and girls basketball, boys and girls hockey. I am joined by former Newman Catholic High School basketball coach on the boys' side, Jeff Gress. Plus, we have a special show tonight because we will be joined by all four nominees for the Win Brockmeyer Award for the outstanding senior football player in the greater Wausau area. I'm part of the committee that chooses the Brockmeyer Award. It's really a terrific honor in itself. But every year, the coaches at Wausau West, Wausau East, DC Everest, and Newman Catholic select one of their seniors as their nominee for the Brockmeyer Award. And this year, DC Everest has wide receiver Pearson McDonald, Newman Catholic running back Matthew Meyer, Wausau East quarterback Pacey Weber, and Wausau West lineman Tegan Isham-Hurst. And all four of those young men, all four of those senior outstanding football players will be here in studio tonight. I don't know if my table's big enough, but we will make it work this evening and talk to those four at 7 o'clock. And then after that, our coach guest at approximately 7:20 will be joined by the head coach of the Central Wisconsin Storm girls hockey team, Jana Wimmer. And I was, in fact, watching the Storm last night. Went over to Eau Claire for their game, but Jana Wimmer's led her team to a 7-0 start to start off the new season last night. It was an exciting one over in Eau Claire. The Storm defeated the ECA Stars by a score of 2-1. By a score of 1-0. It was a one-goal game, but a 1-0 game. Tristan Wickland scored in the third period to give the Storm the victory. So we'll talk to Coach Wimmer about her team, how it looks, the start of the year, the expectations, which are always high for the Central Wisconsin Storm. So, again, really quite a day. Great guests coming up during this show, and then great guests coming up as well tonight on the big high school sports show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Well, again, overcast skies to begin, not quite as bright as it was yesterday, but still not too bad. Temperature is 22 degrees. We'll talk to our meteorologist, Jennifer Vuchiski, about what looks to be a quickly warming forecast. Maybe not quite as much today, a little bit warmer today, but then, boy, we're going to be feeling almost fall-like tomorrow. We'll get all the details with Jennifer Vuchiski coming up at 9:06 this morning. Once again, joined at the other side of the glass by our in-studio engineer, producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
So what's new with you?
Well,
it's tell you.
After the auditions for Jazzy Chaperone, I'm just waiting to hear back about the cast list. I'm very hopeful for getting in the show. I just don't know what part I'm going to get. Mm. So it's very exciting there.
Were there many people at the auditions on Monday that you went to?
There was, actually. There was about 13 to 14 of us, and there were six guys, including myself, which is very unusual for theater because you don't get a lot of guys to audition. So it was nice to see that turnout. I don't think there was many... I don't think there was any guys who were signed up last night, but...
Well, that's good for you,
then. I
know
there was at least two signed up for tonight's auditions. And tonight is the final night of auditions. If you're interested in signing up for that, I recommend it. It's a fun show.
Do you have a role that you're hoping to get?
Ooh. Well, honestly, just any of the guy parts would be fine with me. Because I was in the ensemble last time, so this... But this time I like to, kind of have a challenge.
There you go. All right.
Step up to a different role.
Very good. Well, good luck. Hopefully when you get the cast list, you said, this Saturday you're expecting to find out?
Yes, I should have an answer for you on Monday.
All right. Very good. So good luck on that.
Thank you.
Again, that's Ian Welsh, joins us on the other side of the glass here on the program, Chad Holmes Show, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Again, going to talk about some interesting topics. When we get to speak to Kristen Alfheim coming up a little bit, it's interesting because we've seen this from time to time where somebody who actually works within government in some way. Kristen has been somebody that's worked in government in Appleton. She ran for state office last time around, and now she's on the other side in front of the microphone talking about these issues on the radio. I'm curious to see how she's enjoying that, because it is different. It's different on this side of the microphone as opposed to when I get a chance to talk to elected officials or candidates, like coming up later on today, Doug Denny. Of course, I mentioned that Doug Denny is a candidate for mayor. He's a current councilman here in the city of Wausau. We will also have the mayor of Wausau, another announced candidate for mayor, coming back on the program coming up on Monday morning after 9 o'clock. We'll be talking again to Katie Rosenberg. She saw just another story coming out. We'll definitely talk to Doug Denny and talk to the mayor about the continuing water issues. That's one of the issues, obviously, I think will be discussed in the run-up to the election. Also, I want to talk about, as well, just basic philosophy, and I'll talk about that with both candidates, both today and on Monday, in terms of what do you see the role of mayor as? Because I do think that we are seeing right now some candidates, I would say mostly on the right-hand side of the aisle, talking a lot about policies, basically an end game with economics. And I do think that the bully pulpit aspect of a political job, especially one that is what you call the chief executive, whether it's the president of the United States, whether it's the governor of Wisconsin or any other state, whether it's the mayor of a city or town, I think that the bully pulpit, having a moral voice, is something that needs to be discussed as well. And I'm going to try to delve into that part of it, along with the economic aspects, which are so very important. You need to, make good decisions economically to keep a town and a city vibrant. But I do think you have to have some balance with that. It can't all be about just bottom line. And one of the frustrating aspects I've seen over the last year or two is somebody like the assembly speaker, a very powerful figure, Robin Voss, talking about the continuing controversies that involve education, the University of Wisconsin system, talking about that everything that is done at the university system should be about growing the economy. I could not disagree more vehemently. I do think that in the course of our lives that we need to be living well-rounded lives, not just grabbing at every dime. And one of the frustrating aspects is in part of the areas that I focus on. Of course, I focus on some of the news and the politics, but I also focus very much part of my work on the sports aspect, covering a lot of sports. And one of the aspects of college athletics that has become increasingly frustrating to me, and I think for others as well, is the idea that every decision is being made based on how much money you can bring in terms of television contracts. I'm not a fan of the ever-expanding Big Ten Conference or the ever-expanding Big 12 Conference, which the numbers in those titles mean absolutely nothing. I am not a fan of seeing the Pacific 12 Conference going away. Just because the presidents of those universities, the athletic directors of these universities, feel like, hey, we can make more money by going to the Big Ten or the Big 12 or wherever else they go. It should not always be about the bottom line. And in terms of education, when you go to college, it shouldn't be just about getting the skills to go into the workforce and make money and be able to service your boss. It has to be more than that. Again, it has to be, I think, a balance. And what the Assembly Speaker has been saying over the last couple of years, talking about that everything that is done at the university level should be about building the economy. Again, I could not be more against that line of thought. So, again, those are the kind of issues that I think we need to talk about, especially as I talk to mayoral candidates like Mr. Denny coming up later in this program, like the mayor, Katie Rosenberg, on Monday. Talk about the economic aspects, but also the other aspects. Again, the bully pulpit aspects. I don't think anybody can deny that who's been president of the United States over the last couple of decades has affected the overall tone within this country. So, again, I just think that sometimes, whether it's in athletics, whether it's in politics, whether it's in education, the focus in a laser-like way on economics can sometimes obscure what is the bigger picture. So, again, we'll have these discussions. We'll continue to talk about these. I'm sure we'll talk about this and more coming up after a very short timeout. As coming up next, our first guest this morning, I'll be joined by the host of The Rational Revolution, again, heard on Thursday evenings on stations in the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. We'll talk to Kristen Alfheim. Coming up next, I'm Chad Holmes here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Talk about it all the time. You got to get that Civic Media app, and one of the great reasons to get the Civic Media app is basically 20 apps in one, because there are some programs that are heard here in Wausau. This program, in fact, only heard here on WXCO, but folks around the state can tune in on the app and on our website. And there are other shows that are on some of the stations outside of Bull Falls Radio and that you can tune in on the app or go to the podcast page and listen at your convenience. And one of those shows is The Rational Revolution. It is heard on Thursday evenings on our stations in Oshkosh and Green Bay. And the host of The Rational Revolution, Central Wisconsin native, D.C. Everest graduate. I like to say that because myself as one as well, and graduated the very same year, so many years ago. This goes by so quickly. Kristen Alfheim. Kristen, number one, again, the stations you're on Thursdays, it's at 7 o'clock, correct?
Absolutely. 7 o'clock on Thursday nights, and we're on WGBW out of Green Bay and Oshkosh Air Support down in Oshkosh. And again, as you said, the app is a fantastic thing. No matter where you are, you can listen live and interact right from the app. You can call, you can send in texts, so it's a great tool.
Last time we talked, you were just launching the program, just getting it underway. And of course, the first time, and I think the first couple of times we talked, you were actually a candidate for office. So your perspective and I think your life and career have kind of altered each time that we've talked. And I wanted to start by asking, now that you've been doing the show for a while, now that you've really, I think, probably got a real feel for working in radio, talking about these issues, how do you like it? How has it been? Has anything surprised you in terms of hosting a show talking about issues that are important to you?
No, I think it's fun. I mean, my whole goal in this show was to allow people to have conversations or listen to conversations that have some differing viewpoints and do it in a tone that's civil so that perhaps things are heard on both sides. And I like it. I am enjoying doing it. I enjoy having the guests on. I enjoy the information. And I really feel at the end of each show that we are adding to our community. again, not everything that's said on the show is necessarily something that I agree with, but I listen and I let the message be shared, and then there are counterpoints to that. But the goal isn't to be right. The goal is to have a conversation and try and create some empathy from multiple points of view. So I find that fabulous. I think a good conversation is enjoyable. Every time someone speaks, you should be able to learn something from that and add it to who you are. And then, you know, whether that adjusts your mindset or not, that's up to you. But it can't not be altered when you add new information in if you're a rational individual.
Has there been any issues that surprised you that you've talked about? Maybe that when you came in, you thought, man, that you would be surprised that you actually were talking about these issues? Because I imagine that during the course of your career, you've been somebody that's served in office, you've run for office, you've thought a lot about issues. I know there's probably issues that are still exceptionally important to you that you probably talk about quite a bit. But has there been any surprises? Has there been issues that, boy, learned something that maybe that surprised you in a certain way?
I don't know about surprised. Again, I went into this knowing that we were going to talk about touchy issues, or perhaps issues that people aren't aware of that they should have. So I don't know that I've been surprised by any of it. I think what I'm happily pleased with is the reception that the show has gotten, and the response that people really enjoy listening, even though, you know, again, what they're hearing is not necessarily 100% their viewpoint, that they're finding value in listening to a civilized dialogue and gaining information from it. So I don't know that I've been surprised by any topics. In the last few years, I've been around the block enough to kind of know what's out there. Mm-hmm. In fact, I do my best. I think for the first 2 months, we actually never said the name Trump because we were purposely trying to have conversations that people would actually engage and listen to that weren't, you know, the polar opposites. So we tried to really bring the show in a civilized manner and talk about things that matter without the big fiery words, so we could just have good discussion. And that's been very, it just makes you feel good that you know that what you're doing is giving value in the community.
That sounds like exactly what the mission has been, that our founder, Sage Weil, talks about so often in terms of having these discussions, because the only way you're going to, I think, get people to think, and then when you think, you have the ability to perhaps change a viewpoint or to, you know, see things in a different way. Have you had response, and even maybe yourself, and you said it, you said you may have people on that talk about things that you may not have agreed with. Have you had the sense that there are people that are taking the information in and are looking at it in a different way, maybe not even saying change their minds, but maybe more open to certain ideas?
Yeah, I think that happens pretty regularly. As an example, we had a good friend of mine, her name is Libby Jacobs, and she up in the Green Bay area runs the DEI program inside the tech college up there. And she came on, and the reason I had her is to, again, talk about really what DEI is as opposed to what I think the general public thinks that it is. And it was a wonderful, wonderful segment of someone who understands well how beneficial our DEI programming is to people from, you know, different cultural backgrounds, from people with, you know, kids with autism. Yes, there's the LGBT factor, but it is so much bigger than that. And the entire conversation was about helping people realize the whole point of DEI is to help more people in our society find comfort and success, both personally and financially. That's the whole point of a DEI program. So, you know, with that kind of information, to me, it's necessary, because you have this big, you know, almost there's a war on the DEI topic right now in mm-hmm. Madison. And that's a shame, because I think people don't realize this is not about the Rainbow Brigade, which I'm a part of. That's not what it's about. It's about helping people find success and stay in our communities as positive members and giving everyone the best opportunity to do that. Why would we not support that from an economic standpoint, which is very much a focus for many in the country? So again, trying to have a good conversation that educates and lets people realize, oh, and then sometimes it's a matter of making that more personal. So again, someone may not embrace the idea of DEI because they think it's all about LGBT or trans or whatever. Nope. What if you have a cousin or you have a niece or you have a nephew that is dealing with an issue of disability or of autism or something that's challenging or of second language? All of these things are what's addressed in DEI. And so bottom line is, as a parent or as a grandparent, wouldn't you want your relative to have the best chance of succeeding in your community?
Kristen, I want you to pause right there because we do have to get a news update. But I want to continue along this line in just a moment. But we have to stop for a news update and then come back with more with Rational Revolution host Kristen Alfheim here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chat Home Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, again, overcast skies, 22 degrees currently in downtown Wausau. The time is 8:34. Again, we are talking to Kristen Alfheim, who is the host of the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Network, the stations in Green Bay and Oshkosh. And, of course, you can tune in on the Civic Media app each Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. And, Kristen, you were talking about one of the discussions you were having concerning the issue of DEI, and it's been such a big issue. I mean, right, you know, it's in the headlines to this very moment and today. When you were talking about explaining, I think, in a very good way how the discussion occurred in terms of trying to be as real as possible with what DEI is and what DEI isn't. Unfortunately, I'm of the impression that Robin Voss knows better. that this is much as much of a political play as it is truly a governmental play. And that's one of the frustrating aspects as well. And it sounds as though when you talk about a rational revolution, it's about, you know, being intellectually honest. And I think it's very difficult at times when you feel like folks on one side or another side of an issue are not intellectually honest. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a number of issues on a state and a national level that you would question whether there's ignorance or there's willful ignorance. And unfortunately, the amount of willful ignorance is getting higher and higher. I mean, there are massive bodies of evidence out there. And again, if you look at one individual fact, I think anyone could argue. But when you look at the volume of information that is out there on any given issue, how anyone can still have their head in the sand about it is, to me, again, as educated people that are surrounded by lobbyists and groups that are telling them the other side of the story, when you know you have been given both sides of the story and you still are oblivious to it, you are just ignoring it. And that's unfortunate. Those issues come down to money and who's driving what. And unfortunately, the money that drives who sits in what seats is from the edges. And the edges are controlling the conversation because they can, because that's where the money came from. And that's not right. It's just disingenuous. I don't think we're going to actually get back to a rational set of leaders in Madison and in D.C. who understand they can't always have what they want, so therefore they must work together towards positive outcomes. We're not going to have that until we deal with the money aspect in politics. Money is the root of it, which then leads to lines, which then leads to one-sided conversations. There's no accountability in that. So little by little, we can't throw our arms up and say, well, politics, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Complacency, in my opinion, is what's hurting our world right now. The idea that I was guilty of it, and I've said this multiple times. I was happy. I was financially secure. I was not affected by anything that everybody screams about, so therefore my world is good. Nope. That's complacency. Because when you look at your community as just your backyard, you're missing the fact that everyone's backyard is connected. Everyone. What is affecting someone who you've never met does affect you somehow, some way. So my mission is to try and help people realize that they can be involved, they must be involved, and silence is, in the end, the same as agreeance. So if what's going on, if in the back of your mind you know it's wrong and nothing is done about it, that's a challenge. We have to start speaking up, and again, not all of us are going to be shouters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna start shouting or arguing with people on Facebook about issues, but I'm going to do my best to, with empathy, educate and listen and try and learn and be the best version of who I can be and make a difference in the community. And I'm hoping that others do as well.
The idea of money, and I've been talking a little bit about this. It's not even just when it comes to election cycles and the money that goes into it that allows certain candidates to get their voice out there a little bit better than others and to perhaps get be elected. It just feels as though that so often, whether it's seeped into the whole governmental aspect about how everything that should be done for the benefit of the economy above all else. And I'm not saying that the economy and making sure that economic growth occurs is not important, but so many of the issues comes down to just strictly money. And it just feels like there's a constant push to make sure that the morality, the moral aspects of issues are given a fair shrift. It feels like it's getting worse. I used the example of when Voss was talking about the UW system, that everything that should be done with the eye towards growing the economy. And I just cannot disagree anymore. When I went to school, it was about opening the mind to different ideas, to different activities. We are here for a certain length of time, which is not really a long time. And it just feels as though the idea of everything, and I've talked about it as well within sports, with where college conferences break up into, you know, insanity because you can make a little more money on TV. You work again within government at the local level. You've run for office to try to be at a state level. Is it a constant fight about economic benefits versus maybe moral benefits in our society right now? And is it something that's hard to push back against?
Well, I think that the reality is that both are necessary. And the theory of having two parties was to address that, right? I mean, in the end, there will always be a faction of the population that wants to give and, you know, every three-legged, one-eyed cat on the planet needs to be rescued. And that's a beautiful, heartwarming story. And then there's the other side of the page, which is, but can we afford it? Are there dollars there to do it? So the answer is neither side is always right. We must have a strong economy to make sure that we have the greatest opportunity to find success within our communities as individuals. If there are no companies in your city, there are no jobs. If there are no jobs, that means crime goes up, people move away, it's a bad cycle. But we can't focus our entire lives on economy only. There was a time where there was no thought to balancing things. I think if you can look back in history, there got to a point where labor was squeezing to the point where companies didn't have to be here. They didn't have to be here. They can go someplace else. And the government in Madison shifted to focus specifically on corporate. Now, that ran for more than a decade, and now we can see in all the trends that it's completely the opposite, meaning it's never good if only one side is finding success. It has to be a symbiotic relationship. between the workforce and those providing the business. If it's not, then it's broken. And right now we're to the point there's been so much focus on creating jobs and creating the infrastructure for the businesses. Everything is focused on that end, that the middle class has been left behind. The working force has been left behind. And that's a problem. The answer is not to swing the pendulum all the way the other way. It's to find where it should have been to begin with, which is finding the balance that says it doesn't make sense for a corporation to have a 40% profit or an increase of 40% in their profits year over year while the wages of their employees have been stagnant for over a decade. That's not right. So common sense would say we should talk about this from both sides. What I find is that people assume the opposite is wrong all the time. So you have the people on the far blue side that just hate everything capitalism. They hate everything in corporate America, and anyone who makes six figures must be part of that. Well, that's not true. It's absolutely not true. We must have success in our economy, and we have to look at the families. Every family has its own challenges. Whether we have nothing, we're trying to get going, whether we're comfortable or we had been comfortable, everybody is dealing with a different version of struggle. And the lack of empathy for anyone other than who looks and lives like you, in my opinion, is the issue. And that's what we have to start working on. And again, how do we get there? We get there because instead of having these strong opinions on the edges, we start finding commonality in the middle and say, hey, we have got to use some common sense here. The whole concept of the rational revolution is that we literally need a revolution in our system to get back to being rational. And we can do that. But if the only voices that we hear are on the far edges, it won't happen. Because the center, the moderate, the person who wants to take care of people but also doesn't want to get beat on the head with taxes, they are just sitting quiet, or eventually they pick an extreme side. Let's give them a rational concept of what the world is and how it works, and then come up with some reasonable answers that doesn't benefit one side or the other.
As we get closer to 2024, do you sense that folks that will be on the ballot coming up in the next year or so will be hearing that philosophy? Do you feel like let's say the Democratic Party, the apparatus, which will be behind a lot of candidates, do you have a sense that they have their hand on the pulse of really what the people want to hear in terms of being able to get that message across, to be able to, again, get the votes that would be able to tighten things up in the state assembly, in the state senate, and to be able to get maybe more of that rational thought, rational ideas into law to be able to do that? Or do you think that we are going to be in another cycle where the fringes do still have the loudest voices?
Well, I think the fringes and the money will always have a voice. My hope is that we get an honest set of maps that will create accountability for those inside. It's also my hope that with rational maps, honest maps, which does not imply that the blue all of a sudden turns over all of the majority. That's not my intent. But if the maps are actually realistic, what should happen is that you have better candidates show up on the side of blue because they actually would have a shot of winning. Right now, I mean, if you've got a 16-point deficit going in, rational people do not take time away from their family and their business to run a campaign that they can't win. They don't do that. So you'll find that there are empty seats and there are fairly weak candidates that take positions because they're basically a placeholder. If we had a reasonable set of maps, it would become competitive. And when it becomes competitive, you now have accountability on both sides, both the side of blue and red. And with that, I believe you start getting better quality candidates who then can act with leadership. I think that what has happened in Madison, because of the lines, because of the money, you've got a lot of people there. And I'm not saying you need to have great qualifications to be at Senate. I think you need to be someone capable of listening, someone capable of learning, and someone capable of communicating with a mindset of solutions. That is the skill set necessary to lead in the political world. That's not the bulk of who's down in Madison right now. And it's happening on a federal level also. They are kind of these edge people who have a picked, you know, an axe to grind in one area, and they stand on that. I want leaders. I would rather go head to head with a rational person on the other side who I know is capable of listening, learning, and acknowledging they may not have known all the facts in the past, than somebody who wants to scream on a podium all day long from an edge. We can't get back to rational activity until we have rational actors doing the roles. We can't get back to rational actors until we have realistic lines. That has to happen in order for us to move forward. And anybody who looks into the history of the lines and how they are thinks that that has not been skewed. I know on my show, I've
Hey, Kristen, Kristen, can you hold that thought for 1 minute?
Break.
1 minute. We'll come right back and finish that thought here with Kristen. And back with Kristen Alpine, who is the host of The Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Network. You can get her on the Civic Media app here in Central Wisconsin on Thursday evenings at 7 o'clock. And, of course, you can listen as a podcast at your convenience as well. And before the break, you're talking about the mix of maps and also having then basically rational actors being able to run for office and then as well become elected to office because of the fair maps. One question I wanted to ask you, because obviously you've gone through this process of deciding, like you said, that some people, when you look at the numbers, a rational person would decide, no, I mean, I'm down 16 points at the starting gate. I mean, it's going to be, you know, impossible, and I have to travel around, and some of these districts are rather large, and, you know, and the financial aspects to it as well. When you talk to folks that may be interested in running for office, and based on your experience, what do you tell them in terms of what are the positives of making the leap and maybe some of the challenges of making the leap? When you have those discussions, how do you go, what do you tell folks?
Yeah, I've actually had a lot of those conversations. We're looking for candidates all the time. And the main thing that I talk about is that it's going to either be an opportunity or an obligation. So you have to look at it, and again, whether it's for your school board or your city council or town board or county, you have to look at it as, will you add value? Will you see value? I look at it when I go in, and what I share with candidates is, for me, it's been the greatest learning opportunity and professional challenge that I've ever had. Because the amount of information, remember, none of us walk in with all of the knowledge. Nobody truly knows what it's like to be on one of those boards or at a state level, because what you read in the newspaper is not the whole story. There's so much more going on. And I think people think that they have to be fully versed on all of this information. You don't. You absolutely do not, if you have the ability to sponge knowledge as it's given to you. That is all you need. Can you listen? Can you learn? And then can you help with all the facts make a good decision? That's the skill set. So if you look at the idea that you look at yourself as someone who is rational, who can communicate, and who wants what's best for your community at whatever level that is, if you see that as an opportunity, then any of these options and the effort that go into it to accomplish it are absolutely worth it, because you will gain as much as you give. If you think of it immediately as a time sucker and a frustration, and whatever else, then it will be. So the mindset going in has to be, will I get enough out of this opportunity that I feel good at the end of the day, no matter what? And again, anyone who enjoys learning and wants to understand at a deeper level, the best way to do it is to get involved. And it's truly easy to get involved at a local level. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of money involved. There's not a lot of signatures needed. There's usually, even if it's a nonpartisan race, there's usually, people tend to lean on one side or the other, and those people will then, volunteers will help, you know, get your message out. It is not an undaunting task to get involved at a local level. It's not. And time and commitment, I would say in just about any situation, you're probably looking at 8 to 10 hours in any given week at a local or a county level in terms of commitment. And immediately people will think, well, I don't have that to give. We all have that to give. We all have that time if we choose to use it and we see it as a value. It would be no different, in my opinion, than taking a course. Mm-hmm. If you took a, you know, personal growth and development course, you would probably put the same amount of time into that. You are getting that out and at the same time making an impact in your community, or at least creating a voice in your community for rational thought. And I would suggest anybody who has been dissatisfied with what's going on, the best thing they can do is get inside to learn the rest of the story and then be able to teach that and communicate that in the community as you work through those changes. Again, complacency is killing us. It really is. The most rational of us are sitting on the sidelines because we know the effort that it would take to make a change. That's not good. That's complacency. And my challenge to everyone is step up and help yourself be a better version of yourself by putting your toe into something and getting the rest of the information. It will change who you are for the rest of your life, because you have that much more knowledge. When you see things in the paper, when you hear things on TV, you'll have a better understanding of what's going on as opposed to a knee-jerk reaction of what you assume. That's my biggest secret. Mm. Do it because it's an opportunity.
I think if we had one wish for 2024, that we had those rational, intelligent, community-minded people that think about it, who may have said, it's not really something I want to get involved in, that they find the reasons to do so, that they do get involved. That would be probably one of those big steps forward in that rational revolution that you talk about, correct?
Absolutely. And I would say that exact advice, and I know that civic media tends to have a more liberal audience, and I love that, but I said the same advice should be out there for the rational Republican. There are rational Republicans out there, friends of mine, friends of yours, that are normal, smart, rational people. We disagree on a couple of main issues, but I would rather have a rational person on the other side who strongly believes in their side than have what's going on now, which are just nodding heads. Rational mm-hmm. people understand they can't always have what they want. So I would push on the same side, whether you're on the side of red or blue. Most of us fall into somewhere more of a purple category. We're not all one or the other. Step up. I would love to have a whole bunch of red, purple, and blue, purple people in any position, as we also have the deep blue and the deep red, because now we have a functioning body that can come to a solution in a reasonable manner. You have to have the blend of all three voices, left, right, and center, in order to get forward progress.
Chris,
that's where accountability comes in.
Kristen Alfheim, again, Rational Revolution, Thursday evening, 7 o'clock. Tune in on the Civic Media app. Also, check out the podcast if you missed any of the previous shows. Kristen, thank you for spending some time with us, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much. Love DC Everest.
There you go, Kristen Alfheim. News coming up.